Lord's good, isn't he? Lord's good. So I don't claim to understand everything about God. I don't try to explain God. I try to understand maybe what's going on sometimes in my own journey and share it with people. But God's a wonderful God. He's an amazing God. And he's doing amazing things in ways we may not always see, may not always understand. And I think this is, it's a beautiful illustration, but the tapestry from the backside always looks like a mess. But if you could see it from the front side, you go, wow, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Well, we're sometimes looking up at the messy side here in this life, but God sees it from the top side and he knows exactly what he's doing. All of those difficult things that challenge our faith and challenge us from day to day, God knows exactly what he's doing. So you ready to study the Bible tonight? Ready to read Galatians chapter 5 tonight? We kind of worked our way up to it last week. And I thought I was going to read Galatians chapter 5 last week and just spent time talking my way there and then ran out of time and said, we'll do it this week. So Galatians chapter 5 is where you want to go. Let's roll up our sleeves, get our notebooks and our pencils and our paper and go to work in the scriptures and we'll see what God does here. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty. I love that word. I talked last week about legalism, I talked about license, and I talked about liberty. Legalism is simply the thought that I can do something or abstain from something that somehow makes me stand right before God. That's my personal works of righteousness, as if God can accept that as a foundation upon which I stand before him. That's a legalistic tendency in the mindset. License is the thought that I have a license to sin because my sins are forgiven and Jesus paid everything. I now have a license, apparently, to do things and not worry because I'm licensed, basically. I have a license. Well, that's faulty. Legalism is faulty and license is faulty, and they are both attempts in the flesh to walk a certain way in life, and they both lead to the same place. And I talked about this last week. They both lead to the same place, and that's a sense of wretchedness. The prodigal took a journey into license, like I can go to the prodigal city and do what I want. It brought him to a place of worthlessness. He said, I'm no longer worthy to be called my father's son. A sense of worthlessness. The Apostle Paul took a legalistic journey into self-righteousness and at the end of Romans chapter 7 just said, I'm wretched. That's all I am. I'm wretched. Worthless and wretched. There's a legalistic journey to wretchedness and there's a fleshly, licentious journey to wretchedness and worthlessness. Okay? One for a while looks better than the other, but they eventually both implode. Legalism and license. And then there's this beautiful word in Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, and it's called liberty. Oh, that's just so beautiful. Liberty is not a license to walk in the flesh, because the flesh can never find freedom. Liberty is the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, I'm free to embrace a righteousness I can't create. In Jesus Christ, I'm free to embrace a brand new identity that I didn't have through natural birth. I received it through new birth in Jesus Christ. Okay? So I have liberty. And the liberty that I can experience in Christ is actually empowering. And it can bring me out of, victoriously, it can bring me out of the flesh. It can bring me out of the house of Moses. It can bring me out of legalism and do for me what legalism cannot do. It can give me what the flesh cannot give me. It gives me true liberty and true joy and true peace and true victory in Jesus Christ. So legalism is of the flesh. License is certainly of the flesh, but liberty is through Jesus Christ and him alone. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Stand fast. You don't need to go back to the flesh, and you don't need to go back to the house of law. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, and the yoke of bondage here is the yoke of legalism. Now, Paul spends a large majority of his writings talking about legalism and the flesh rather than license and the flesh, because legalism was his past. It's what he came out of. It's what he knew. I mean, he knew that from top to bottom. It's who he was from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And so that's the lens through which he writes through the Holy Spirit. We understand that. But he writes so much of the scripture. And he says, don't go back to the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage referenced here is that legalistic thought that through my effort, I can attain a righteousness that God can approve of. So stand fast in the liberty wherewith we have been made free through Christ Jesus. When the devil comes to accuse me, I'm supposed to stand fast in the liberty to embrace the righteousness of Christ. It's not the righteousness of my flesh, and it's not the failures of my flesh that can really condemn me before God, because I've been set free through the liberty of Jesus Christ. I'm free in Jesus Christ to embrace the righteousness, so much so when Satan comes to even accuse me, I am still at liberty to stand in the righteousness that's been gifted to me through Jesus Christ. And by the way, that will do more to strengthen the Christian than it will to return the Christian to a licentious lifestyle. And so don't be afraid that, you know, this is almost a license to sin. No, it's not. It's not. And we understand that. And don't panic when people abuse truth. And I said this last week. I'm not here to abuse truth, but I am here to use it. If I need it, I'm going to use it. Satan will come to accuse. Well, what do I do? My attorney steps in to plead my case, and his name is Jesus. So I just let Jesus and Satan work it out, you know, and Jesus comes out victorious on that one. That's the liberty that I stand in. Simon Peter, in the book of Galatians, abstained from eating with the Gentiles when a Jewish contingent came. He withdrew himself, sending a message. This we looked at this in chapter 2, sending a message that the Jewish laws were a means of approval with God. And Paul stepped in and rebuked him for that. He said, you're sending a message of legalism to people who need to hear the message of liberty, and you're going to frustrate the work of grace. So stand fast, he says, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The real essence there is the legalism, but we could even insert the yoke of bondage of the flesh, I suppose, if we wanted to. They're both flesh and they're bondage. What's the result of legalism? Ultimately, it's bondage, not freedom. Galatians 5:4. Christ has become of no effect. Circle that word effect. That's just kind of... I've held that kind of like a precious gem in my hand, and I've turned it and I've looked at it and I've thought about it. Just, it's a word that's just really interesting to me. He said, Christ, you know, that liberty that we have in Christ, the work that Christ did for you and I. He said, stand fast in that liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then down in verse 4, he says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. You who want to go back to the law, the covenant of the law. He said, Christ is, and he's talking to believers here. Now, he's not suggesting that they're going to lose their salvation. He said, Christ, you who want to go back to the law, that's what he's talking about in verse 2 and 3. Verse 4, he says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. You've lost the effect of walking in the beautiful truths of grace. Like, the beautiful truths of grace actually have a real effect on those who can reach out by faith and say, you know what? I'm going to embrace this by faith as true. I am going to embrace the fact that God loves me unconditionally. I will embrace it as true. I am going to embrace the fact that God really does see a righteousness in me that's not of me and that never goes away. I'm going to step out and do something. It feels kind of crazy, but I'm going to step out by faith and embrace it. It sounds kind of crazy because I've been sitting on this long road over this great big mountain for a long, long time with these crippled feet. And my history says, never, never, never have you walked. But something inside of me says, I think in Jesus' name I can stand up and walk. I can walk out of this problem with feet of faith. You know, that's where we've been at on Sunday morning. We embrace by faith gospel truths. Those truths have a real effect when they're embraced by faith. Okay? Now, if it's just a piece of knowledge you carry in your head, because Pastor Kip said, blah, 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 that's not faith. Knowledge in the head is not faith. Faith is something that comes, it's deeper. You feel it on the inside. You know it on the inside. You're going to step out and say, this is true because God said it's true, and I'm going to embrace it by faith as true. You know? And when we do that, there's like a real effect. But when we trade the truths of grace and the hearing of faith as given by the Holy Spirit, right? To me, that's just the most important thing I have learned thus far from the book of Galatians. Hearing of faith, the truths of grace as revealed by God's Spirit. That's what walking in the Spirit is. I'm hearing what the Spirit's saying through the gospel truths. I'm hearing it by faith. Hearing of faith. Galatians talks about the hearing of faith. I'm hearing gospel truths, truths of the gospel by faith. The Spirit's working. And my faith is reaching out to embrace these things as true. When we do that, there's like a real effect. But when we step away from those truths of grace and go back to a legalistic mindset, the do's and the don'ts, how am I performing? Does God see me through the things that I'm doing? We're now back into a mindset. And when we're walking in that mindset, we lose the effect of amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Oh, how He loves you and me. We're over here now trying to perform and imitate and measure up rather than embracing freely all the gifts, the beautiful gifts of grace. Christ has become you who are going back to the law. You're going back like a debtor. You're debtors to do the whole thing in verse 3. And in verse 4 he says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. You've lost the effect. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from the effect of the truths of grace. Now, yesterday I spent the day over in Des Moines at the State Fair. Chicken salad sandwich, by the way, it was awesome. It's like, there's somewhere my wife found that the number one new favorite food at the fair this year was a chicken salad sandwich on a fried flatbread. It had roasted paprika and a slaw on it and everything. Egg, fried egg in there. It was really, really good. Longest line I stood in was to get that chicken salad sandwich. And I'd stand in it again, and that line was long all day long. All day long. So it doesn't have anything to do with Galatians. Doesn't have anything to do with the effect of Jesus Christ, nothing. But, just thought I'd share that with you. And, of course, the rib, you know, on the stick with the bacon around it, that's really good. It had that. And corn dog and, maple bacon strawberry shortcake. That was pretty good, too, so. And then all the things that I wanted to get and didn't get that should have got. But anyway, you can only eat so much and you only got so much time. So anyway, but one of the things that Victoria and I did, we went over, we rode one of the roller coasters they had set up. And it's kind of a fun little roller coaster. And you go around the track, but then the whole cart, it spins around while you're going too. So you kind of spinning and rolling through this thing. And it's not like huge, but it was fun. And we waited in line and we did it. But here's the thing about roller coasters. If you'll just get on, it will affect you. Now, in this example, it could be bad. It could be, for me, it's good. Like, we actually ate everything and then went and did this, and we were okay with that. So, it wasn't a major roller coaster. But if you will get on the coaster, it will affect you. And let's just go ahead and let's just assume if you don't like roller coasters, try your best just to see this from the good effect. It's awesome. It'll spin you around. It'll take you down the hills. It'll bring you up the hills. And it's just fun. You don't have to pretend it's fun. You don't have to convince yourself it's fun. If you just get on, it will affect you. Okay? Now, I don't know where, but there's some place in my journey through the scriptures. I'm reading the scripture and I'm thinking, you know what? I think the Christian life is more of an effect than it is a choice or something. You know, I decide to forgive you. You ever tried that? If you do that, you are a better person than me. I choose to no longer be impatient. Hey, if that works for you somewhere, good for you, but you're better than me. I'm the person who says, okay, I choose to be patient. Now, let's get it moving. You know, it's like, I'm not very good at just making a choice and becoming a different. I choose to be at peace in the midst of this storm. It never worked for me. It's not a choice we make. But then I realize, you know what? But if you can discover Jesus in the storm, Jesus will affect you. Like a roller coaster will affect you. You just got to get on. The kicker is, how do I get on? What's walking in the Spirit? Well, just walk right over and get on with Jesus. Now, how do we get on? My opinion from the book of Galatians, I'm telling you, this is the most profound piece of this book for me. Gospel truth, heard by faith, embraced by faith as the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. If you can just reach out by faith and embrace these gospel truths, they will affect you. Quit trying to figure out whether or not God likes you. Does He love me or not? Is He pleased with me or not? Have I made Him happy or not? Stop that. Just get on by faith, because the Bible tells us, the book written by the Holy Ghost through the pen of man, the Bible tells us God loves us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And He loves us with a love that has height and width and depth and breadth that you can really only measure by the crown of thorns on His head all the way down to the spikes in His feet, and going width and breadth by the spikes in His hand. And we can't even measure the distance of love between all of that. Quit trying to figure out whether or not you finally measured up to an acceptable standard with God. Stop that and embrace by faith the amazing love of God. You know? And if you got to stand in line for a while and work your way up there and you can see it, but you're not there yet, well, just stay in line. It'll move. It'll move you through. Just keep that faith there and let it move you all the way up, and you'll get on. And it will affect you. I've never been good at just deciding. I will come forward and I will make my decision to leave my problem at the... The problems always followed me back out the door. Always did. I never left anything at the altar. I tried and it always followed. It stuck to me like glue. Followed me back out. But when I discovered, if I can see Jesus, if I can see a truth in Him, when my faith connects with Jesus, well, Jesus affects me with peace. Jesus affects me with a right mind. The maniac sat down in his right mind. Why? That's what happens when you're riding with Jesus. It's the effect. The exceedingly great and precious promises make us partakers, effect, of a divine nature. Effect. It's not so much about my ability to choose. It's not so much about my ability to make a decision. And that's why Paul prayed, I want you to have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Because if you can get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, it's like getting on the ride with Jesus, and there will be an effect. But if you get away from the truths of grace and you want to go with the righteousness made by the hands of man, you will lose the effect and the power of grace, because you're not on the ride. You're trying to create something Jesus already did. And He gifted it all to you. But you're not taking it to the bank. You're missing the effect. That's why He said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Satan wants to move you away from that liberty, and he will do it by attacking you and accusing you. And if we move away to self-effort, Christ becomes of no effect. The grace message becomes of no effect. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. Verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Paul said he left the righteousness of the law to pursue that which is in Jesus Christ. The faith, the righteousness that is of faith is so full of hope. I love that. The righteousness that I make, I'll never measure up. I'll never make the comparison with that. But the righteousness that I have by faith has the power to fill me with hope. Because the gospel truths are all full of hope. All of them, like my sins are forgiven. Like God really loves me, like I'm accepted, like I'm adopted, like I'm in the family. Like I have eternal life. I don't ever have to worry about God casting me away. I'm His. I belong to Him. He will never leave me, never forsake me. He's always there. Even when I can't see Him, even when I can't feel Him, He's still there. And something inside of me says, though I can't see Him, I still believe He's there. We through the Spirit wait for the hope. We who are believers in Christ have a liberty. We are at liberty to have a hope regardless of what's going on in the world around us. It's the hope of righteousness by faith. Verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything. That's the mark of the law. That's the yoke of bondage. That's the righteousness that we get so busy trying to create that we fail to walk in the righteousness full of hope that's through grace, and we end up losing the effect, losing the impact of our so great salvation. For in Jesus Christ, verse 6, neither circumcision, that's law, availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by what? Love. Not law, not license, but liberty. The liberty that we have in Jesus Christ truly is embodied in this one word, love. I am at liberty to walk in the beautiful love of God's amazing grace. I walk in His love. I live in His love. God drips with love. God is love. Everything is love. And this is the beautiful hope of the righteousness which is by faith. It's not of law. It's not even about not being of law in one sense. It's about being in the love which is of faith, the righteousness which is of faith. We are at liberty in Jesus Christ to pursue God through His love. Verse 7. Ye did run well. You were running well in the message of grace for a while, but somebody came in. Who did hinder you? Who did that? Who took you out of the beautiful liberty of grace where there's true empowerment, deliverance from the flesh, deliverance from the bondage and the heavy burden of law? Who took you away? Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? See, what truth? The truth that's in Jesus Christ. The truth of the righteousness that's in Jesus Christ. The truth of our liberty that's in Jesus Christ. The truth of the love that's in God. Who took you away from the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Then in verse 9 he says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little bit. You get moving back to that self-righteous mindset, and it just takes over like leaven takes over a lump of dough. It will take over the whole thing. It always does. Now, here, the leaven taking over is a bad thing, but we also have the kingdom of God is like leaven, too. Let God's kingdom, let God's truth, let the truth of the gospel run wild. It'll take over, too. If we stand fast in the liberty, it will take over. But if we go back to a mindset of self-made righteousness, A little bit of that will take over and it leavens the whole lump. Grace, in fact, we looked, I'm not going to pull the verse out just off. Back in chapter 4, it talks about bondage, and it gendereth more bondage. Gendereth is the word I'm looking for, which actually means to procreate. The law procreates more law. That's what it does. Get started with law, it will procreate more law, and it will add laws to laws, and pretty soon things that have been added by man are preached as the commandments of God, and law just procreates more law and more law and more law and more law. And we're trying to do, really, sometimes through a very sincere effort, we're trying to accomplish through laws, laws, and more laws what you can't really accomplish through laws. But you can walk it in the liberty. The liberty and the grace that's in Jesus Christ. So, like leaven takes over the whole lump, law procreates, law genders more law, but so does grace. Grace procreates and leads to a greater understanding of grace. In fact, the more I understand grace, the more I see grace in Scripture, the more I realize grace is everywhere in Scripture. It's one of those things, once you start to discover, you go, you know what, I never really noticed it before. It's kind of like all over the place. All these New Testament letters, it's just, it's so much about standing fast in the liberty of this message of God's amazing grace. And the more you see it, the more and more you will see it, and you'll see it everywhere because it's like leaven. You just start to see, also it's taking over everything. Verse 10, I have confidence in you. I have confidence in you through the Lord. I have confidence because through the Lord. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. The battle's in the mind. That's where the battle's at. We can either be legalistically minded or grace minded. We can be licentious and minded in the flesh, or we can be minded in the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. The only place of true empowerment is when our minds are focused on the person of Jesus Christ. Where is the battle? It's in the mind. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We have the mind of Christ. Verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, that's the mark of the law for the Jewish people. That's the mark of a covenant. He said, if I preach that covenant, why do I yet suffer persecution? Those who were of the law and saw righteousness as a work of the law persecuted Paul and his message of grace. He said, if I was preaching law, well, you know, this, why would I still be suffering persecution? Then as the offense of the cross ceased, self-made righteousness is offended at the message of grace that comes from the cross of Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:29 says, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so is it now. Ishmael was born after Abraham's flesh. Isaac was born according to the promise, Spirit. And Ishmael persecuted Isaac. The law finds the message of God's amazing grace to be offensive and counterintuitive to self-made righteousness. Galatians 5:12. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Liberty to sin? We know that's ridiculous. Liberty to walk in victory that's been handed to us in Jesus Christ. Liberty to relate to God through the work of Christ rather than our own effort. Brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty. And this is where Paul shifts from rebuking the bondage of the law to the licentious use of the flesh. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, get this statement, circle this whole last phrase, but by love serve one another. The love that originates with God and flows from God Serve one another. We cannot love someone and abuse them at the same time. That's impossible, isn't it? You can't love somebody and abuse somebody. It's impossible. If we truly walk in love, we will serve one another. You cannot truly love someone and steal someone's possessions at the same time. That doesn't work. You cannot love another human being and violate that person's liberty, dignity, or privacy. You can't do it because love would never do that. When we truly get tapped into the love of God, that's where the divine life, and I talked about this last Sunday night, the divine life starts to flow through us. It's truly God's love flowing through the branch in fruitful ways to other people. By love. There's no law powerful enough to make this happen. Do you understand that? There's no law powerful enough to make this happen. By love, serve one another. And that counts when Jesus said, love your enemy. Yoke up with the law all you want. You ain't gonna love your enemy. You will hate your enemy. I don't care how hard you try to love. It takes a divine connection with Jesus Christ, God the Father, and something not of man flowing through to produce this kind of fruit. The origin of real love is in God, who is love. We as a branch are incapable of such love. But if we abide in Christ and the love of the Godhead, we can be a conduit for the divine love of Christ. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. You want to argue law? Let's cut to the chase. Here's one great big word, sums it all up, and the law will never give you the power to do this. The law is all fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love. Love. There's the summary. Love. Thy neighbor is thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, that's not the fruit of the Spirit, is it? Take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. If ye bite and devour one another, you can be so full of religiosity on the outside and bite and devour inside the body of Christ. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. He said, how do I walk in the Spirit, Pastor Kip? I'll tell you how to walk in the Spirit. Get your ears of faith on. Let God's Spirit minister truth of the gospel to you and take that journey of faith. Sit there and let faith stir until you can leap your way to a whole new walk in Christ Jesus. Walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, there's the beauty of liberty. You're liberated from the flesh when you walk in the Spirit. That's so amazing. I'm liberated from my flesh when I walk in the spiritual truths that bring the divine sap of God's love up into the branch, and it just starts moving through, and it's going to produce fruit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't. You say, why? Because when you're walking in the Spirit, there's a divine effect. Period. I am not here to try to manufacture the love of God and then lift up what I've manufactured to something that God can do. It's just like one day the light went, I was like, God, you're going to have to affect me. I don't have what it takes to do this. I need something from you that actually affects me, like a roller coaster affects me. Only better. We're talking spiritual things. I need something that wakes me up. I need something that fills me full. I don't need just church talk I don't need just another sermon. I don't need to just memorize another Bible verse. I need real truth that affects me. And I found out, you know what? The gospel's got it all. And I'm just like this far on the journey. And it's an infinite journey. The gospel's got it all. Everything we look for in the roller coaster, everything we look for in the things of this life, everything we look for in money and materialism, Jesus has got it all. Affect me with it. There's a good prayer. God, affect me with, open my eyes, open my ears, help me to see and hear powerful truths that affect my inner spirit. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You'll have something so powerful going on inside of you, you won't pursue the flesh for happiness. You won't pursue the flesh for peace. You'll have the effect of the gospel going on inside of you. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They really don't get along very well. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that, and what's being implied here, so that ye cannot do the things that you would if you're not walking in the Spirit. You can walk in legalism all you want, but you won't do the things you know you're supposed to do until you're walking in the Spirit. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're walking in the flesh. I don't care if you're yoking yourself up with all of the commandments of thou shalt, thou shalt not. You will not at the end of the day do the things that you're supposed to do. You know you should. You will end up biting and devouring and arguing and manifesting the works of the flesh rather than the fruits of the Spirit. And he says in verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, and under the law you don't really find the liberty you're looking for. You don't find the empowerment that you're looking for, but you will experience an effect of gospel truth as revealed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, now the works, circle the word works. Now the works of the flesh, it's a lot of work to live in the flesh. A lot of messes you have to clean up. A lot of things you have to deal with. A lot of mistakes you make. All the works of the flesh. That's a hard work living in the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Listen to these. These are the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Idolatry, witchcraft. You say, Pastor Kip, I'm not involved in witchcraft. Well, that's okay. The list goes on. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Anything that's even like any of these things. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that verse has been problematic. I talked a little bit on it before. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, and it gives a similar list and says, and such were some of you, but you're washed. See, those who do these things, they can be washed and they can be sanctified. And in the kingdom of God, this is not what we will be. But these are the works of the flesh. Verse 22. But the fruit, listen to the difference, the fruit of the Spirit. Work, oh, that's flesh. Fruit, beautiful word, that's Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's the summation of everything. And out of this love, there's joy and there's peace. The ability to be long-suffering when you want to be impatient. But the gospel really does have an effect. You understand? You understand? I'm going to do my best, Pastor Kip, to just be long-suffering and patient. No. Forget that. That's the wrong mindset. Discover Jesus in a powerful enough way that he has an effect on you, and you will be patient where you were once impatient. You will suffer long because there's something different on the inside, and it's welling up from a real heart of love for somebody that wasn't there before. Effect of the gospel. But if you get away from the truth of the gospel, you get away from the effect of the the gospel. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness, faith. What a beautiful... I'm at liberty to explore all of this in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law against anything that you can explore in the Spirit. So go ahead. You're at liberty to explore everything in the gospel. Everything in the Spirit of God. All of these beautiful fruits, relish in them. Let these truths affect you and produce something in you you can't do yourself. Verse 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, so how do I live in the Spirit? Oh, gospel truth, ears of faith, Spirit revealing. If we live in the Spirit, we're made alive. This is new birth in the Spirit. Let us also walk. This is how we live in an ongoing. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And all of that took place under a mindset of law where the Pharisees had their long robes and they prayed in public where they could be seen, and they fasted and their faces were long so that they could be seen, openly bringing their tithes and their offerings into the temple to be seen of men, vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, measuring themselves by one another, comparing themselves by one another, and none of that's going to produce the real effect we all need. None of that's going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. None of that is going to have an effect. That's Spirit, that's gospel truth, and I'm all done. And